Now, the open class, what that is, it's one big building.
One big building.
One big room.
Yeah, with little.
Yeah, it's the old one room schoolhouse, the only trouble is you've got a lot more children in there. And some architects figured out that if you put physical carpeting, it doesn't. And children need to concentrate. And if you have a class here, and a class here, and this class can see what's going on here.
At least they think it's whether here or not.
Married his wife.
Yeah.
Also, lawyer.
And they hear too.
Can you be married to a kind of woman who would not be very aggressive to head much?
And they allow the children to come and lie on the stomach.
Guy, are you around?
But that's not the real problem.
And that's why he's not only a lawyer, but a member of Congress, the United States House of Representatives.
There's not, there's a thing that they need a story. Have a story where they go to a machine and they put a pair of.
This morning.
Yeah, I know, because I write this stuff. That's how I've been making. So they put a pair of earphones on. And they see cards. They don't work with people. They see cards and do a machine. One machine that I've done the jury for is called the audio card.
She not he.
The child goes to one of the cubicles. And they take the card and they put it on the shift button. And some voice comes out in the TV and says, John walks down the street. And then they look at a picture that this is a street. And then the child has to repeat it, but he pushes the button and he records. And there's people relating to the machine.
Then he takes her to the airport.
Very old fashioned.
Jim Schroeder has a job too in the Washington law firm, but he only works part-time at about half of what he made in Colorado. And there's no question about whose career is more important.
They're pretty much all the same.
Her career is now the predominant one, and I am the secondary position. So it seems to me when both people have careers or whatever, somebody has to be in the compromise secondary position that's now me.
How do you feel? Yeah.
Well, first of all,
no,
I never thought about it myself.
It
was too late, and
I
didn't have a choice. But it doesn't bother me. I think that
she likes a teacher that tells her what's wrong with something instead of an IBM printout.
Our children haven't suffered at all with anything. We think that they've had some wonderful opportunities. And in my own career, I just go along just as I can.
And also,
do you find yourself standing in corners of rooms with a lot of wives?
A lot? No,
it's been there very rarely. Of course, I guess I'm excluded from the congressional wide circuit. But I find myself often talking to other congressmen or other staff people. I think it's an advantage because I'm a lawyer and I'm interested in politics. I think I'm knowledgeable about many of the things going on. And so I can talk to two past colleagues about things that they're interested in.
It really is nice and Zoom here today, as you can see, so we're happy to be back in Colorado. Jim Schroeder has never been excluded from his life's career, either in Washington or here in Denver. On the contrary, he more or less runs it, which is precisely how his role differs from that of his traditional political wife. He's in the back. Watch
my
children's
job looking at the
And few political wives would handle a chance encounter with the governor of Georgia quite like this.
It's an 18-year-old woman where
We asked Pat Schroeder if the social demands on her husband were similar to those put on a political wife.
Well, it's all right, because I couldn't
they
know what she
was going to play those roles. Well, it's a political wife. If the husband can't come as always, well, where he can't, the wife comes. They're worrying if they want to get his home to bail her out. If he wants to come home, but they don't expect him to play that subservient, self-fettled, parent.
Well, I'm
talking about the
most often at his campaign headquarters. He's not there to make a token appearance. He's there to run a strategy session.
We did the best we could.
Yeah.
We gave him a chance.
We gave him a chance. Well, you all been getting around today.
That's right. Can't just see.
Do you get to see much of the lady, Barbara?
Went over to go.
Same thing. Just that little bit when we outside, Stephanie.
That was expensive.
I got introduced to her 3 times. Pretty well.
That's pretty well around here.
That was the only time I ever got to talk at all. She got to talk at all when I was there.
Seems to me they go over there and they put you. That's my major objection, is that they continue to live a fiction, and it's difficult for them to get into a realistic situation.
I didn't care to do much talking. I never fared too well on the talking. What I wanted to do was just have the silence. Was on that.
And I don't feel like these
people
enjoy the life, but I'm not too sure that they get integrated into a town council situation. Some of them in the future, several years.
I may not be right, but sooner or later, a human being.
Well, you thought you'd better look through that stuff.
Well, that was a point.
That's right. But I think from what Wade told her, that she was ready to have him sign it. And Wade told me sitting out there, he said, you know, she's ready to just take up a bag and go anywhere you say. Well, Barbara was saying that she'd be a help to all of us.
This might be off the subject matter, but I ran into an old developer friend that I met at the River Day, a corner shop in the room. And he had quite a pallid look on his
face. I'll tell you one thing, the little girl got a professional lesson out of Barbara. She did the best she could on it. But she didn't know how professional she was getting on grooming and saddling the horse.
And
there's a lot to it.
I guess for a child that size, they need to work with a horse that knows more than they do.
Yeah, sure do.
They're not quite as smart as they
do. Worry about what I do. I just have to look to the Lord. He has no more responsibility.
He doesn't know anything about horses.
He doesn't have to worry about either.
Don't really think that's
well, now, can the other little girl?
Cindy?
Hey, you find here.
I've never seen Cindy around Philly. She's got a different attitude. She's more aggressive. And in that sense, she could handle her better, but I don't know whether I haven't seen her around the Philly. She doesn't really know anymore. I doubt. She'd make just as big mistakes. They'd just be a different kind of mistake. Eileen's problem is that she's still at the stage where if the horse blinks at her, she jumps. And the horse blinks twice.
Uh-huh.
Well,
mandate has been worth a great deal over the weekend.
Yeah.
I suppose we all know that.
Because
I don't think you would have had very much talk with Sonny if you hadn't had mandate. Well, you'd have had some talk, but you'd have had the child sitting right there with her.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. You did.
Oh, Harry Merritt, you don't know him. Architect and Oh, he's about the only spark plug over there.
You want to this old.
Good or bad, got some vitamins.
But Mandy was right on hand, and she fits the bill. And she said in town that, well, over the weekend she could be riding Mandy. She might be able to tolerate town if she thought she could be out here riding Mandy over the weekend.
He had four or five students around with him one day, and I think Norman Jensen was in there.
Barbara, I'm always conscious of hands as a piano player, but I never really thought about how conscious of hands you are as a writer.
Well, it's the same idea. Because almost all your writing is done in your
hands. If I die, find out this ain't right, I'm going to
see
be pissed off.
It's much like a piano section. This must have get further than
But he's not going to give it up.
And my hands have gone soft.
He's working at it on a bet basis.
Your hands have gone soft.
So he doesn't see a better bet.
I haven't been writing as much.
And nobody knows.
This must
have been the best deal he's got offered to.
Strong as it was.
See that guy?
See, that's why all my writing is done, is writing me. And that's what I'm having with Debbie. My problem I'm having with Debbie right now. Debbie gets out there and she uses her body. And her hands are, there's no end of, well, they do all kinds of things, but none of them are the right things. She just gets out there and upsets the horse. I get the reins hooked right down through there into that little finger. And then it's just a matter of working with the legs to get the horse to work with the paw up to the bit. And I can keep my hands still. They stay here. And all this part, we should be relaxed. You see, Debbie rides with her elbows and her wrists and all this kind of stuff. Instead of getting it down to the finest point.
Well, I've seen Debbie do that, and I thought, well, she's really studied this thing.
Well, when people talk about good hands, the rider having good hands, that's not it at all if it has good legs.
That's right. Now that's true.
Because the hands, when I'm really, really working on dressage, my hands, you can't say they don't do anything, but it becomes a matter of when they, just simply when they don't, instead of when they're active, it's when they aren't passive.
It's
weird, but right. Well, the thing about it is that you give a signal to the horse if you use your leg, say on the right side of the horse, it tends to push him so that side of the horse lengthens, and he will push up against the bit on that side. Now, if your hand stays still, the horse will push up against it, and you will have given a signal, even though your hand doesn't maybe only move that much, quarter of an inch. The most you might tighten the muscles in the hand, but you don't do anything like this. Your signal is started back with your legs rather than started in your hand. And if you use the leg and feed with the hand, give with the hand, just let it when the rain begins to pull, just let it open a quarter of an inch. Then the horse will move out on that side. So that the signal to turn when I'm riding a horse that is really in tune with me is not to pull, do anything with this hand, but to use my leg and keep the hand still. And that's how you get these beautiful dressage riders who never seem to move on the horse. They aren't moving. Actually, they are, but the movements are so slight because the leg response is, in a really sensitive horse, is just a very slight pressure. And so they're riding with their legs, and most people are looking at their hands and upper body. Now, when I look at the dressage rider, I see his legs working.
Do you?
Yeah, it's not that it's not obvious. It's just most people aren't looking at that level. Their eyes are up above that, looking at the hands and the body.
But now, what do you say Debbie does to a horse?
She rides with her whole arm.
Gets the horse.
Gets him upset. The horse gets the horse confused is what it amounts to. Because she doesn't understand what's happening, and so her aids are wrong. For instance, today Molly was wanting to go back to the out of the ring and back home. And when she was, since she had come in that ring down toward the end of the ring towards the road, every time she would go towards the road, she would just try to go down the ring towards the road. And to correct that, Debbie would try to pull the rein away from the road. All right, well, that's the first thing you're taught. You're going to go to the right, pull the right rein.
Actually,
she'd try and pull that right rein. And because she wanted to go to the right so badly, she'd bring the left hand over the horse's neck. This is what I mean by she rides, she's got hands all over the place. She brings the left hand over the horse's neck. And you're pulling, so all her weight and everything is over to the right. And Molly keeps going off to the left.
Forget.
Is that what be expected to do?
Yes, if you know how a horse is influenced, it's exactly what I expected her to do. But what Debbie expected her to do. Well, the thing about what happens is that Molly's thinking about going off the left. So she bends to the left, looks off to the right, she frees her shoulder. Gets that shoulder that's away towards the road, gets her weight off of that shoulder onto the one, the inside, and then she scoops. And all Debbie's doing by getting her weight over to the right and both hands over to the right is helping her scoop. And so what she had to work on was to use the legs. Now, the other thing that you're taught is that a horse will move away from the leg pressure. So you think, well, if I use my right leg, the leg away from the road, we'll be pushing towards the road. Okay, that makes sense. Only it doesn't work. In a situation where a horse is doing what Molly is doing, they have stopped using the inside leg. They take long steps with the one towards the road and short steps with the one away from the road.
Oh, no.
That's how it scoots.
Right.
Well, the basic principle, the one that comes even before the horse moves away from the leg, is that your leg causes a reaction in the hind leg of the horse on the same side. So that if you use your right leg, you're going to cause the reaction, the longer step, in the right hind leg. So I had her using her right leg and her left rein, which by all your beginner lessons, that should make the horse turn to the left. But it doesn't. It makes them straighten up the spine.
She had watched another cook for years.
Mm-hmm. And when she's got her spine straight, then you can turn her any way you want.
They didn't seam them out like they
but
now.
You can't do anything until you get the spine straight.
Mm-hmm.
Get her head straight.
Yeah, get the head straight in front of her.
Nobody said a word and she had all the guts inside.
And then you can decide which way you want to go.
Her
straight ahead or to the right or to the left. That's no
and
good.
I remind myself, although I still have a tendency to overprotect
my
voice.
See, that's where you need the riding instructor. Because all your instincts are to do the opposite. All the things that you've been told as a beginner are to do the opposite of what you have to do.
I thought it picked myself out pretty good.
Well, did Molly ever get out?
No, she never made it out. Debbie finally got her, but she wasn't doing it today.
But you had that after you told her.
Yeah, sure. It was getting worse and worse. Well, yes, you know, if you want
to just go ahead and let it go a while and see.
Well, it was
better on Molly.
Well, now that wouldn't have been quite fair, considering I was supposed to be telling her what to do about it. Something had gotten pretty bad before I talked.
Well, I can see these.
Now, was that just a little bit embarrassing?
What, for Debbie?
Yeah.
Well, no, it shouldn't have been.
Because
that's what she's asking to learn.
No money.
That's why she had me out.
She's supposed to be in second grade, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's third grade material.
It is.
Yeah.
I got taken time.
It's past third grade.
Yeah.
Well, I thought she was pretty well along in her study of horses.
I thought she could live on the
She writes about them and things like that.
Well, you probably could, but
well, she doesn't claim to be.
Does she?
No.
Even after that, I really don't think my life started to get better.
I don't know what she claims to
be. I just kind of went fumbling and trying this and trying that.
And never shall forget the time that Suzanne was talking about how she rode. Oh, yeah, she could ride. She did this and that and the other. And she was talking around to Barbara and her. And we went to that little horse show. And you were making comments on the riders. And Suzanne turned to me and she said, I don't think I'll ride in front of Barbara anymore.
Oh, yeah. I was having a good time at that war show.
I was being
awfully snobbish.
It was a pretty poor show.
I must say that one that I saw at Ocala was quite a different thing.
But you can keep trying.
As far as the riding level went. Horses weren't much better, but the rounds weren't much better. That's what
happened.
The rounds. The way the horses were jumping. Either I have gotten awfully critical in the last year of how horses jump, or I don't remember at all what I used to see, and I just have forgotten all the bad rounds I saw. But when you go in and you see, I took a sheep. I do this at horse shows a lot because I doubt myself to judge. And the only way I can be sure it can check myself at all is I can't do it just watching the rounds, and then afterwards saying, well, watching them if they can and say, oh, yes, I agree with that. I don't have that kind of memory. So I have to keep a judge's card, which I did at Ocala. And I didn't have one round on that whole card, and I watched four or five classes and judged each one. I did not have one good round on my card. I had one round that I liked.
That's why you picked it out?
No.
It wasn't a perfect round, but I liked it. It was, the horse jumped well. And I think he had one bad fence and he popped. Well, I can remember doing the same thing up in North Carolina.
Let me put it this way.
And having to make the final decision on whether I liked the way the pace or the way the horse carried his head. Or because as far as the jumps went, there would be at least two, and usually three, that had correct fences. They might not be the way I like the horse to jump, but they were all correct. And then you have to, you'd have to go to something else to make the decision. And I have not, every show I've been to has been like that in the last year.
Who are safe.
So you just get to critical? I don't know whether I'm getting, I don't think so, no. I don't think there's anything more critical than a high school senior. I mean, you know, you're just so full of it. Or, no, I think the standards is a bit lower than where I was. Marcia was just outraged when she came down at the standard and the level with these kids, the rounds ahead, the level that was at. Of course, there's always that tendency to where you come from is better.
Yeah.
I do not know from whom, but I've heard from some other people.
But,
he did a lot of work for Sears Roebuck and something.
I can remember. Well, heck, we used to take those kids from the Walters, and they were pretty good riders. Now, they weren't, didn't have any experience at a big show. And we'd take them to shows up in Charlotte, and they couldn't do anything any good. They'd get beaten hollow.
There's supposed to be a TV series coming in, a Quinn Martin series coming to Miami.
So I don't guess when it really is that bad. But what bothers me is the amount of dangerous jumping that I saw at Ocala and Elmer and Pensacola.
It doesn't have to be dangerous like that.
No, and what happens is that when these horses will go in, and like I watched around, well, there was an open hunter class over in Ocala, and they only had 4 or 5 entries, one of whom was a professional. And even he didn't have good enough horse, good horses. He was just riding was right. Okay, and he got decent rounds, but it wasn't anything. His horses just weren't good enough. And the most common thing that I had on my little sheet was horses that would come up, and at the last minute, they decided they were at the wrong place, and then try to stick in an extra stride. And then they go straight up in the air and hang all 4 feet down so they went over the jump. Well, Barney does that. And it's one of his biggest faults. But Barney does it. And maybe these horses, some of these horses probably are doing it for the same reason, because the fences weren't big enough. But Barney doesn't do it. He doesn't do what he does. That's what that does. He will do it. But... You expect to see a green horse. Now, they had three divisions for hunting. One of them was for really beginner horses that were just in the first season. And then there was the regular first-year green. Most first-year green horses have been showing for 2 or 3 years.
And we just got to laughing.
Before they go to age, say,
first year. This is a sad story.
And they should know. By the time you have a horse going HSA first year green, he should know what he's doing.
Yeah.
There were horses in that class that were.
And it's called Run Wolf Run.
Jumping straight up in the air.
It's by an Indian boy.
There were horses in that class that were diving at their fences. They'd jump way, not early exactly, but they'd come down on it.
A film called Run, Joe, Run.
Instead of meeting the fence at the top of the highest part of the jump, they'd be meeting it as they were coming down.
That's dangerous.
That's really dangerous. I mean, that's scary dangerous when you see a horse doing that.
Well,
because if the fence happens to be, say, two elements, and the horse misjudges ever so slightly, they can come down on the second part of it.
This is a feature film.
And really, horses that would just jump off and jumping off at 1 foot. When a horse jumps, normally it comes in, puts both feet down and springs. And he has to make a special adjustment in his last stride so that he gets both of his hind feet down at the same time. These horses, some of them didn't know how to do that. They do it on most of the fences, and then they get in for some reason, and they'd be a little unsure, and they'd jump off of 1 foot.
Now, what do you have to go on?
Well, when you got a horse jumping off of 1 foot, he's only got half the power.
Then
he should have.
This is what the
and Barney and I have gone right through the fences. Barney's done. I've had a lot of young horses do that with me. They take off on 1 foot and then we go through the fence because they can't get up high enough to get under. That's not just poor jumping. That's dangerous jumping.
That's just possible.
You're working on this.
Yeah.
And that's bombers. You hate to see them.
Well,
it's not just that it can hurt the horse. It indicates that somehow, somewhere, something's not being done to teach these horses and these kids. Now, the thing about, like I said, the riding level of these kids, they look good. Most of them look like they knew what they were doing on a horse. And yet, if they knew what they were doing, if they really weren't just pictures, but if they really knew what they were doing when they had that horse at home, how come that horse didn't know any better and try to jump off 1 foot?
Stephanie was writing an interesting film that the policemen were at least just sitting and watching on report writing. Yeah. So I had some fun with that one. But,
you had nothing to do with
it? And you expect to see one or two horses like that, because there's a Barney in at every show. The evergreen. The horse that never learns. Or the horse that you're having, you know, that's a problem for. But you don't expect to see a class of 15 horses and 10 of them jumping dangerously, 4 of them popping fences but to be extra safe, and 1 of them doing a halfway decent job.
And found out what's wrong with the report.
What they're supposed to know.
Like, why does it hurt them? And then I had to incorporate.
And that's the way you were talking out to that little horse show when Suzanne said she didn't want to.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Oh, Barbara said, look, I've had
enough
of this. And Suzanne, you know, thought all you had to ride a horse, all you had to do was just get on and ride. And she was eating hamburgers and hot dogs and having a good time, and she didn't realize there was something to riding.
Yeah.
And she'd been talking this big talk about how she could ride.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever did see Suzanne ride, did I?
I don't think you did. Only she ever got on the horse in front of you.
Poor
but
thing.
She had talked about how she ride. Oh, yeah, she could ride. And she finally got to where she one of my great triumphs was when Suzanne came in and asked me what to do one time about one of the horses.
Now that's the end of this short talk of Barbara after supper, the first one, the Sunday after supper, the 3rd of November, 1974. This was the first little session with Barbara after supper, the 3rd of November, Sunday, the 3rd of November, 1974. Now this is a visit with Cookie this Monday at supper time, the 4th of November, 1974. Monday, the 4th of September, 1974. This is Channel 1, right, around 400-500, and the beginning of the talk with Cookie this Monday night, the 4th of November, 1974.
Go for x-rays and blood tests and a few odds and ends. They want to run on me some tests in the morning first thing, and then I'm expecting some calls from up in Kentucky and Ohio and up in that area.
Well, how can you combine that with hospitals?
Well, I'm expecting them tonight.
What's that?
I'm expecting some phone calls from up in Kentucky and Ohio.
Oh, I see. You're trucking.
Yeah, I'm trying to locate some sheep.
hard to locate?
They're hard to find.
This time of year.
Yeah, and when you find them, you can't buy them. They're hard to buy.
Oh, there's demand for sheep.
Big demand right now. Because they don't take as much to keep them through the winter, and you can make as much off the sheep as you can a cow now.
Yeah.
Don't tell.
That's right. Yeah, lamb is bringing. This last spring, and also on up to right now, they're bringing 68 to 75 cents a pound.
That's nice. That's nice.
That's more than a 300 pound calf will bring. But, however, I made some contacts and got the ball rolling.
Well, Faye, I come in last night, you and Faye were talking, and she seemed to think that you was on the track again, Cookie. You getting going?
I'm getting going, yeah. Well, didn't I tell you they couldn't keep me down?
Yeah.
You didn't believe it, did you?
I would say that. you had a number of little small problems when you got back from West Virginia.
Well, I just got on the ball. I got them fixed.
You said you were.
Well, how'd you tell us about it? How'd you get going? I mean, you had all sorts of things.
Well, I just got out and got busy. You can't do it sitting down feeling sorry for yourself. You got to go.
Well, how'd you happen to get on to the credit union?
Oh, this has been cooking for 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's been in the mill for 2.5 years. I've been milling them for 2.5 years. Stalling them off. And running to the doctor. That's why I've had to run to the doctor so much. I finally hit a doctor that had done the job and done it right.
Yeah.
That old doctor in Jasper done the job and done it right.
Yeah. And he's the only one who would do it right.
That's right. But he's known my history back for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
He doctored me. I patched up my broken toes and fingers and skinned head and all that kind of good junk. And I worked at the feed mill up there in Hawthorne at Oak Crest Enterprises. And he's known me for a long time.
Well, what did they want? They just had to have
it on black and white on paper that I was total and permanently disabled. And he put it down just that away. And they paid for my car and my truck.
Isn't that fun?
I got the title and all of the notes and everything right out there. Just a little bit better than $5,000.
Now, had you been paying on that all this time?
I've been paying the interest.
But not making payments?
Not making payments, been paying the interest.
Had to pay the interest.
Yeah.
Sure did. And then Laura and Ronnie, they got a wild hair. And they was tired of helping me out on it. And they quit paying the interest. So they come and picked up her car. Well, she didn't know it, but I went ahead and paid the interest. Left a setup there for 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I had it in the back of my mind all the time that this was going to materialize and come through.
Yeah.
And they called me and told me, they said, you come over and pick up your titles, your notes, and everything. Because it's all yours. It's all paid. And I got the evidence right out there in the truck.
Now, but
they had already picked up the car.
Yeah. I had a little to do with it. Because I didn't like the way they were trying to roll things over me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ronnie, after they picked it up, Ronnie called him up and told him that he wanted to work out something. So they said, okay, come on down, we'll work it out. Well, and about an hour and a half later, well, he calls back and told him, he said, no, he said, just sell the car, forget it. We don't want it no more. We don't want nothing more to do with it. We're done with it. And,
he still had it?
No, the credit union had it.
At that time?
At that time. Well, if I'd been paying the interest on it, and I knew what was going to happen. So, and they called me, I went over and picked it up. I took it home. He wasn't taking care of the car. It's cost me about $200 to put it back where it ought to be.
That much?
That's right.
Tires?
No. Well, I bought the tires and put them on before they got married. Give $142 for a set of tires and put on that car. Before the hair, Laura and Ronnie got married. And the same plugs was in it that I put in it when it had 28,000 miles.
That's
21,000
miles.
21,000 miles. The same oil filter was on it that I put on it at that same time. They had never changed the oil filter.
Neither one of them.
Neither one of them. They don't need something like that.
What to do? Just add a little oil in there?
That's right. I changed oil in it, changed filter, put good oil in it, cleaned it up. You can't hear it run now. Put new plugs, points in it, changed the transmission fluid. That car got 49,000 miles on the transmission fluid, never been changed. Well, I kept the car because it was legally mine.
Sure.
But yet, Laura came back up the other night, wanting her car back. That's the truth. And just jumped all over me. And I told her, I said, Laura, I'm sorry. But Ronnie gave it back to him, freely. Give it back to him. Told him he didn't want nothing more to do with it. I said, he's your husband. And he's supposed to be the man of the house. So follow suit. That's just what I told him. Did I go wrong? Did I do wrong?
No, I think you have to call, you have to call a halt to all this thing.
You've gone along with it too long.
I sure think you have to.
If anything.
Let me tell you something. I didn't pay for it in actual cash, but I'd 10 times rather pay for it in actual cash as the way I did.
Oh, yeah.
When I bought that car, I was a man.
That's right. Hell, you were a sturdy fella. I remember when you pulled up in that truck the first time.
I took them horses, went down there and plowed that with that big, heavy turning plow.
Mm-hmm.
In January, after I bought that truck.
Yeah.
I took delivery on that truck on the 28th day of November. And in January, I was down there plowing. December and January, I was down there working them big horses.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a big party down there.
That's right. I was a man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. She put in for a new car. I went to work in 3 jobs to get her a new car. I killed myself working 3 jobs.
Yeah, you sure did.
In January and February of 1972, them 2 months, I made a little better than $3,000 working for it. I did.
But you just let the credit union hold it.
I just let them hold it.
That's cheap money.
Cheap money, that's right. They knew what was going on. As well as anybody else. Bill Morgan's a man.
Hmm?
Bill Morgan is a man.
Yeah. I'm not into him.
Well, he's a big wheel at the credit union.
Yeah.
And he's the one who stood by me all this time and fought with me to get this thing through.
Oh, he did?
Yes, sir.
And it took a good bit of doing to get it through.
Yes, sir.
Because if it hadn't gone through, you would have had to pay for it.
I'd have had to pay for it or turn them back.
And you didn't have any trucks to turn back.
So, I've got it made now.
You don't need the little car.
I'm going to keep it, though. I'm going to keep it.
Well, what's Harriet going to use?
Whatever she can get loose. Whatever she can get loose. I'm not giving them all away. I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, if she can find that loose sometimes, she can use it.
That's right. But that's mine. That pickup out there is mine. I'm not giving none of them nothing more. They can drive them, sure.
Oh, I see.
But I'm not going to give them to them.
Yeah. No, that's a mistake.
If they get one that they call their own, they're going to get out and dig for it like I have to.
That's right, Tony.
Took a long time to learn, didn't it?
It's cost me a lot of money. That's one lesson I bought. It really cost me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, gosh, that's a great relief. I feel a relief too, to get that thing. Jeez, that's something. Ooh.
Well, even that interest was hanging over you, wasn't it?
It was hanging over me every month. But I make it. I don't have to worry about that now, but I've got other things I've got to worry about. Deal at Frank Pool, I've still got that hanging over me, part of it. But I'm not going to worry too much about it.
Golly, yes, I had forgotten that.
But, may have to borrow some more money, but that's all right. I think I can get the job done. If I can find a bank that's got it.
That's hard to find.
Yes, sir. Hard to find.
Whatever. I don't know. Whatever happened to that fella who was going to inherit all that money?
He vanished.
You know, let me tell you. That morning we took off, I was just half a mind to tell you we could just put this thing off, that trip off a few days, and just hang on to that booger. By hang on, I mean just be around and
keep in touch with him?
Well, I'm kind of glad it didn't materialize. I made it. I made it. I've got too many good friends that's backing me.
I know the truth of the matter.
That's right. And there's two that you wouldn't think that would step out and do what they've done for me. Two people.
I don't know if Jack Strokes. He's always.
Well, Jack's one of them. And poor old Dr. Bobby Anderson.
Oh, don't tell me.
Oh, yeah.
He came to my rescue.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I tell you what he told me. He said, Cookie, he said, you get someplace to put them. He said, I'll buy all the cows you want to buy. Weigh them in. And you keep them as long as you want to. We'll weigh them out and split it down the middle. He said, it won't cost you a dime. You just get someplace to keep them.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I go through the country here and I don't see a cow.
They're hard to find.
I never saw so many empty pastures.
I never either. But now, Bobby Anderson told me that. And he gets around. He finds them.
Yeah.
And he finds them, he can buy and buy right.
They're just trying to get rid of them.
He bought a whole herd for $60 a round. Cows. Big cows. Sure did. I ain't no hearsay because I took the money and paid the man and loaded them in my trailer and took them to him.
Oh, you hauled that. Is that the Shorthorns you
hauled?
That's
the Shorthorns. Yes, sir. That's the Shorthorns.
Well, that's you move around the right smart to have a bunch of cattle. The way things are shaping up now, you see, they'll back up there and take off a load. Unless you're pretty much around.
Yeah. But I've got the, like they told me today, doctor told me today. You're going to have to be in here every week. You got to be around. We got to check you every week. I'm sorry to say, I hate to tell you, but facts is facts. I've got cancer in the right side of you.
Was that what's been hurting?
Yeah.
Causing the pain?
I got it back in there.
No?
Lung cavity.
Oh.
The lung cavity. See, there ain't no lung here.
Yeah.
It's a cavity. That's right. They're going to try that miracle drug and see if it'll do it. And they're going to take x-rays tomorrow and take a blood test and all that kind of stuff to let them know how much to give me each time. Each dose. See, it's pretty potent stuff. They don't know how many grams of this and that and so forth to give them. But they've got to check me out and find out how many my system will take and give it to me.
You're going to have to be around about.
I'm going to have to be around. I'm not going to quit.
Oh, well, sure you're not going to quit.
I'm going to find them sheep. I'm going to find 200 head sheep. I'm going to go get them. I'm going to deliver them.
I don't know. This little girl has, she's gone a long way since she was here. She still, because she still doesn't have that gift of looking around and getting hold of things. She let them slide. And she wants some jumps up there. Well, she's been here 2 weeks. Why wouldn't she have jumps already? What's the great difficulty with jumps? That in 2 weeks' time you couldn't have a couple.
Well, if I can get loose here, we're having jumps. But I know where the merchandise is to put them up there with.
Well,
and I'm going to surprise the hell out of her because I'm going to haul it in here.
I know you do. But the thing I'm talking about is she ain't tied down. She can look over the countryside just as well as anybody else.
Yeah, see, I'd have been down here. My God, did you think I'm going to let some damn little old jumps interfere with all this other important business that I've had to take care of in the past 3 weeks? Since I came back from up home, look what's happened to me. Since I got back from up at Dad's.
Just look.
A little better than $5,000. I just walked up and laid my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had to stay on the ball. I've had to keep in contact with them. I couldn't let three or four little old jumps interfere with that.
You sure couldn't.
Oh, no. Well, what I'm saying is anybody who's that far along ought to be able to handle a few little jumps itself.
Well, now, I'm gonna back her up now, guy. I'm going to tell you something. She's more or less new in the area. She don't know too many people, and it takes her a while to make a few contacts.
Well, she made it. She hit me for it. She looked around to see what I had that would make a jump, and I told her I didn't have enough extra stuff to make a jump. So I signed off.
Well, I know where it's at.
That's what they all do when they come out here. They don't look around the country. They don't know anybody out. You talk about not knowing anybody. They don't know anybody, and they won't know anybody. They just know me. And to save me, I haven't been able to do a thing about it. You know, you have wasted more time talking to those squirts. It just don't sink in.
I ain't wasted much time because I ain't done very much talking to them.
Well, you have in time past, you have. Good Lord. About all they learn how to do is wait for Cookie to come. He'll know how to do it. Now, you see, that ain't the lesson, Cookie. For them to depend on you, you see. They can talk to you, but not depend on you.
Yeah,
they're talking about going to Horsedale with you, too.
Huh?
You've been talking about next time you go to a Horsedale.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Price of horses is going to have to come up before I buy any. I'm liable to get rid of what I got. Of course, hay is going out of sight.
And I noticed your daddy wasn't too damn liberal with what he had up there.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that was right visible, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
He didn't leave that old light hay up there for a little man. He put that up along with the other.
Yeah.
He got too much to get through the winter.
Yeah.
He gonna need it. He gonna need more than God.
That's right. And I can't find any I can buy for less than a dollar and a half a bale.
It's any good.
And it ain't no good.
Yeah, down here.
It ain't no good. But I'm gonna trade with Rowdy back. I'm gonna keep Rowdy and Little Man. And that is it. Believe me, that's it. I can't keep no more.
What happened to the little pair?
I got them yet.
Still got them.
Well, I'm going to trade them for Rowdy.
Oh, are you?
I can get the difference.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to get him back, and I ain't going to have nothing in him. I ain't. I just sold a car tonight.
Cool. You just sold a car tonight.
Sure did. And I got six more I'm gonna sell.
Cars?
I'm gonna keep four.
You gotta have four?
No, but I'm gonna keep them.
Cars and the truck?
Cars and trucks. I'm going to keep my two trucks, the little Chevy Nova, and the Oldsmobile.
And the rest of them are gone. The
rest of them got to go. They got to get in the street. They're the junkyard one. They're going to go.
You got the light truck and then your ton truck.
That's right.
Now, what's Laura going to drive?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said she was going up to Grandma.
Oh, she's going to drive the station wagon, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she better get some tires on it.
That is her and Ronnie's worry.
Mm-hmm.
I washed my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I have cleaned up of it. I'm not worrying about it.
That's good for you, Cookie.
Well, you see, the last time I saw her, she was sitting right here, and we were drinking a cup of coffee and a chocolate or something. And that, she started out somewhere, and that car is dark, and it had a flat tire, and she didn't have a spare. And she's over on 441, and she walked all the way up this back way. She stopped at some house there. They used the telephone to call home, get Harriet to come get her. And they told her their telephone was out of fix. And that's them. And she came on in here. Well, it was Sunday night. Everything was closed. I didn't know any more to do than she did.
Well.
And she didn't have a spare.
When they got the car off of me, they had a good spare.
Mm-hmm.
But Ronnie took everything and he get his fingers on and would bring a dime and sold it.
You can't keep anything like that.
Now, I am done dishing out. I have quit.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to put her out like that. It breaks my heart to have to do it. But I can only go so far. I'm just one person.
Mm-hmm.
And they have took me for a leap. Her and Frank have really took me for a leap.
Oh, Lord. It's unheard of. Yeah.
Unheard of.
And I'm bound. I just can't go no further. I just can't.
Now that Olds is sitting up there ready to go.
Yes, sir.
Now, all you had to put on it, because you tell Faye, I couldn't tell her the parts. I could see them, but I couldn't tell them.
I put the bottom half of the bell housing, cross member, transmission oil pan, motor mount, and gas tank.
And it cost you $25.
$29. $0.67.
The whole shebang.
The whole works. Everything.
Did they all come off that one car?
All but the
motor mount.
All but the motor mount. The front motor mount. I had to buy the front motor mount new.
And the car is in just excellent shape now.
Just like it was when it left.
Uh-huh.
And they took it to the junkyard to total it. Junk.
Up there?
Yeah. When they wrecked it. That's where they took it. They took it straight to the junkyard.
And didn't have a dent on it?
Nope. Not the outside of the body, wasn't dent.
That's phenomenal. Well, how did they happen to get that wrecker?
Beats me. I don't know.
Then they decided to get the wrecker and bring it over to your daddy's.
I called them and told them to take the thing over to dad's.
Yeah.
I said, get it out of that damn junkyard and take it up to dad's. It won't cost me nothing to set it up there. They're going to charge me $2 a day for leaving it set in that junkyard.
No.
Yeah, I said, get that damn thing out of there and take it up to dad's. It won't cost me nothing up there.
And then the wrecker picked it up by the front end.
The wrecker picked it up by the front end. That made me mad. And I told him about it, too, before I left there.
Yeah, I remember you were pretty well upset about it.
But I got it all put together. Cranked it up. And drove it about 400 miles after I got it going.
Yeah, just sit back and let it go.
Just sit back and let it go.
All the family.
Me and Dad and Mom and Aunt Emmy, we all just get in and go. I took it down and showed my brother. I said, now, Lowell, I ain't done a damn thing to these brakes. I ain't done nothing to the transmission. And I said, it wasn't the fault of the car. It wasn't the fault of the transmission that it went over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
You see, after they backed it over the hill, why, he got in it, and he said, it won't go in gear. Naturally, it wouldn't go in gear with everything bent up and tore up underneath there. Pushed the brake pedal down, he didn't have no brake. I said, no, I know you ain't got no brake because the damn motor ain't running.
That's your brother Lowell.
That's my brother Lowell. He lives up on top of that damn hill.
He's the one with mother-in-law.
He's the one with the petticoat government.
Yeah.
Now, Lewis, the night before that they took it down there, Lewis drove the car over at his place and turned it around for Harry Dan because it was dark and Harry Dan didn't know where the mud holes and the ditches were exactly. And it was dark, so Lewis, he just turned the car around for him. And he said he'd run perfect and drove perfect. And he said there wasn't nothing wrong with it. And I asked Lowell, I said, do you think after them driving that car 1,000 miles, pulling it up on this goddamn hill, that the brakes and the transmission would go just like that? I said, no, it's impossible.
Any of them mechanical in your family?
No, they can't even fix, change a tire, I don't think.
They just don't have that turn.
Uh-huh.
Your dad is as mechanical as any of them.
Yeah, and he can't put a nut on without getting a cross threaded.
He's an old blacksmith.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cookie. I never did it. I never had such time in my life. I wouldn't have left there. I just overstayed, you see. I kept hanging around thinking you'd leave. And I could see that you had too many things on up there, so it just, my conscience got me.
Hey, you wouldn't have bothered nobody.
Damn,
you could have stayed for a month. They wouldn't have bothered nobody.
Yeah, I said, my Lord, I'd love to stay, but it just, I just felt like it was, this is quite as long as I thought I ought to stay.
Yeah. We just getting started. God almighty, I never learned so much in my life. You see, you know one thing, but you don't know what either. You don't overlap altogether, you see. Some of those things just, I just never heard them anywhere else. Never. That's a view of the world I hadn't had up there. That thing about his brother, you see him pick up a little straggling hay like that and says, that's been stingy. And you know what that led to? Another story. I kept it up, you see. I kept it open about his brother. And he come in a whole lot of things about his brother, I want you to straighten one thing out for me. Well, the finest thing he had told about his brother happened the same place as where he was picking up the straggling hay. Up there where he had the sled and had his own horse hitched to it, and it got hooked the runner in the tree, and that horse wouldn't give to it and just went off and left that runner there. And Daddy said, he said that is one of the funniest things that ever happened to his brother. And once he got something on you like that, he never would let it go. And then he connected it, and I said, I kept that open too. I said, well, where in the world? How'd he get like that? How'd he get like that? He never said anything. And we was walking up there to get Imogene one after that, a day or two later. And he says, if you want to know where my brother got that, he said he got it from his daddy. Well, he said his daddy would get something going like that, and it tickled him so, and he'd get to laughing, and he couldn't stand up. And he just squatted, just like you've seen people get to tickle, they couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
They just sort of squat around like a toad rope.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. Well, you see, now that's a view that you won't read that in the books. That's a view of what goes on. It used to go on in the world, you see, that's what made them digest them ice potatoes so well. I'm telling you, they had something to laugh about. And they didn't have to get something new all the time. They just think of something already. And you told me, one of the finest things is what you told me. I was up there, you see, and your daddy, we'd had some pretty good talk down there, and he was feeling pretty good, and he was going round and round. I think it's a rake. I don't know whether it's a rake I guess it's a rake, because you wasn't up there, or down there, actually, down there where I saw that cat. And he'd make a round, and he'd come back around there where I was, and he'd holler and tell me something. I couldn't hear it quite. The thing was making less noise. And then he'd whistle, and he'd sing. And I asked you, I said, did your daddy ever sing much when he was in those days? And you said, not that you knew him. And then he come to you, and you told me, I think you stand out there in front of the house, and you pointed out there into that upper pasture. You said you had seen him out there cutting hay on a horse drawn with a horse drawn mower, and he'd sing so loud you couldn't hear the mower.
That's right.
How about that?
Well, you see, why he don't care whether he leaves or not. That place had just suited him all these 55 years, couldn't
it? That's right. But see, it's not him. He don't want to leave. Really and truly, he don't want to leave.
No, that afternoon, you see, when he left Icy up there and brought that cow back, I caught him out there, and he was just having a picnic.
Why, absolutely. He's having a ball. Yes, sir.
And then when you come up and you started fixing that tailgate, that was just his element.
Why, absolutely. He was, I mean, right on top of the world.
There wasn't nothing like him.
No. It was all right there.
Well, now, this happened, and I can't I didn't hear it all, and some of it I heard, I don't remember. We was coming back from that day we went up. He had a meeting with the county. It's up there on top of the mountain, and these two fellas had a big truck, and they was unloading these long boards. Looked like it was about 18-foot boards, about a full-cut 2x8 boards, old boards. They've been used a lot. And the door was open, and the fella started up there to close it so we could get by, and he saw the hood that was in the truck, so he just left it. He just left the door open, and he just turned around, and his daddy just speeded up like he's gonna run him down. Well, sir, he got out.
I don't know who it was. I wasn't with you.
No, you weren't with us. It was right there in front of that little house that is right square dab on the road. I don't know whether one of them lived there or not. Well, I'll tell you all I know about it. He talked with the other fella that is back over there, taking the other end of those long boards. They talked back and forth a little bit. And the first, your daddy talked to him about, like, well, if you don't want these boards, I'll just take them on with me, something like that. And he says, well, I just got to get rid of them. We use them up there. And then the first thing I know, you know, he asked your daddy if he had something. And your daddy just got that stiff look of his, you see, and says, no. You've heard him do that.
Yeah.
And the fellow didn't say anything. He walked on a step or two and turned around. Says, it ain't there anymore. He walked another little step or two and turned around and says, you know, if I had it, you could borrow it. Now, what it was you wanted to borrow, I don't know. And when we was going off, he talked to him about it a little bit. He said he's a poor fella and had a hard time making a living. Had a job now. He's working for that. Something that's going on there. Then he thought of the thing that recommended the most. He said he's one of the most faithful grave diggers in this country. Why, he says he'll take off and lose his wages the whole day digging graves.
Don't know who it was. I don't know what they were looking for. I have no idea.
Well, I'll have to ask that, is that what I mean? I think of that, and I wonder what in the world he wanted to borrow.
I have no idea.
Like anybody else I ever saw right now. She got muscles.
I know, pay attention to her.
She is all muscle. And she got hands. I never saw hands like that. Debbie came over here in Roseweather one day, and you know, she worked at the office there. fast. She don't get out very much. And when she first came back, she was right straight. I held her. Because if she's so flabby, she can't holler over you.
Hmm. Well.
It's like she hasn't got a muscle in her.
Well, Cookie would get you, just get your two older children out of you, off your back, and maybe these other children will stand out for you.
I think they'll profit by their mistakes.
Nobody has to tell them about it.
No, because it's very obvious for them to see what they've done.
Uh-huh.
Very, very obvious. And it's not only me that's suffered, they've had to suffer also.
And they know it.
They've had to suffer also. Like I told Laura, I said, I hate to see you go hungry. I hate to see you with no place to sleep. But you feathered your nest, and I sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'll feed you if you get hungry. Just come by. But I said, I went as far as I can go. Now, I said, if you want to get out of this mess and come on back home, you can join right in with the rest of it.
That's another thing.
But as long as you're hooked to him, you're his responsibility, and if he can't face it, I'm sorry. I don't guess I done wrong. I don't guess I did. But that's the way I feel.
But you've gone along with it so long.
I've been along. I tell you what, I just killed myself. Since Laura and Frank have got up to where they could start, where they could help me if they would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ask them. I don't expect them to give me everything they got.
No, of course not.
But after me getting them up this far, and then getting in the condition I'm in, I feel it's no more right for them to help me a little bit instead of me helping them all the time.
All the time.
It's just reversed of what it should be.
Now Frank's laying low.
Yeah. He called the other night from Phoenix, Arizona. Said he was on the move. Talked to Ronnie in 8 weeks tonight.
That long?
That long. Well, like I told her, I said, now you do as you please. But I wouldn't go another 8 weeks. Like it is now. I'd either talk to him, or I'd get out where I didn't have to. Well, she's going to her Grandpa Coker's. I don't know how long she'll stay. I have no idea.
Did she think that up?
Going up there? Yeah.
She told me down at the trailer, we were visiting down at the trailer when she first came over here. And she said she liked it a lot at home. And she expected Ronnie to come back any day. And she said, if he doesn't, I'll just be waiting. She said, I guess I'll spend my life just waiting. And she said, I'll just give him a chance after chance. And I said, well, all I can say is that I don't think anybody deserves too many chances. And that's all he said, because he wasn't asking for my advice.
I don't know what she's going to do. I have no idea. But I know one thing. If she expects any more help out of poor old Dad, she's going to get unhooked from him, because I'm not going to tolerate it.
I certainly think so.
Because he's a man, he's 33 years old. She's a woman, she's 22 years old. And if they ever know what they want, it's time for them to figure it out now.
Well, it doesn't make any sense that he can just go away and just leave her dangling.
No, that just don't add up.
Mm-hmm. No. The life, too.
No, not even the first time. It didn't make sense. Sound like something you read about in the newspapers.
Yeah.
And she's too nice a girl. She's too fine a girl to just waste her life.
She's going to ruin her life if she don't get out of it. That's what's going to happen. And Frank has already ruined his life. He's done ruined himself. It'd be hard. It'd take him a long time to live down what he's done. A long time.
Well, you say these younger children see what it is, and I'll bet they profit by it.
Yeah, just like yesterday. Well, Saturday, we went over to. I took them over to the grocery store. We all went. Mary Ann, she went in the J.M. Fields. She came back out with a bottle of car polish and wax. So yesterday they go out, they wash the car, the Nova, and they polish and wax that car for the first time. All the time Laura drove that car and owned it, she never polished it, she never waxed it. She never done it. Very few times did she ever wash it. But Harry Dan and Sarah got out there yesterday afternoon and stayed right there all evening, and they got it done. And Laura came around and she made a remark. She said, she never did offer to do it for me. That's what she said. I don't know what she was. I don't know what she thought that. Well, now she leaves the impression with me as if she thinks we ought to carry her on a platter the rest of her life. Well, I got news for her. Well,
Cookie, you're supposed to eat supper with us.
No, I eat with Helen tonight.
Oh, you did?
She's off tonight and tomorrow night. And I called Guy and told him that Helen was going to fix our supper tonight.
Oh.
That she, I got to be at the hospital in the morning at 8 o'clock without my breakfast. So. Like, in other words, they told me not to eat nothing after midnight.
You sure can. That's the Lasher General.
No, it's a veteran.
No, the veteran.
Veterans Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going where do I have to pay for it?
Sure. We got good doctors over there, too.
I'm entitled to it. It's coming to me, so why not get it? Everybody else does.
Sure.
We stopped by on the way back from Jacksonville that afternoon, and hell, I've been burning up the place looking for some help. Cause, now, let me tell you, I haven't got the type of writer who can handle it, but I've got one who knows the ropes.
Who knows, and he knows where to get them.
Yes, I think so. I think so. And it's pretty sure that she's coming. And she's been doing this for 20 years. And she got muscle. And she won't have to run off to the Cape every weekend. And long weekends. That's what Jim and Sue Sanders do. You know. I'm telling you, they start to work. And the first thing you know, they were sort of standing around acting a little curious, and first thing you know, they've quit.
Boy, they sure did get next to Helen. I didn't know that. I told them about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Remember when the last hay was cut and put up out here?
Yeah.
Jim and Suzanne was out there hauling it in.
Yeah.
Helen and the girls went out there to help. And they told them they just didn't need their help. And Helen went back to the trailer and she didn't show her face no more.
Well, I can't imagine it. Suzanne.
No.
There's someone misunderstanding there.
It surely must have been. It doesn't sound like either one of them.
Well, anyway, that's what they told them.
Yes, I don't doubt it.
And Helen, she just said, well, come on, girl, we'll go back to the trailer.
Well, of course.
Because that's why we made hay, so it's something everybody could do.
Play with it. Yeah,
play
with it.
They made fun of your hay.
Yeah.
You know that hay we put the stuff on and you took it down there and dumped it in the barn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You remember the hay, the bale of hay?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Took it down there and we put it in the barn.
Yeah.
Put it in there. And you know, Daddy put the pony in there that I bought. He wouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
He put Tom in there and he just snarled up his nose. He wouldn't eat it.
No.
Of course they wouldn't. Not with that other good hay up there.
No. Even with that other smelling. That other was smelling too. Smelling things up.
Had you left when I bought the horses?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, I hauled a load of cows for Mr. Ashley.
Yeah. That you were going to do that. Let's see, I left on Wednesday.
And I was going to do that on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, I bought two horses Friday.
At the sale?
Two ponies at the sale. For what I charged Mr. Ashley for hauling his cows. And I sold one before I got home for $15. I brought a load back for $10. So I cleared one pony and my gas. I left the pony for Daddy to trade off because I hadn't got a chance to get out and trade it off yet.
Well, he's a trader.
He traded off.
Yes, sir. Sunday school approach. If he makes too much, he go around and sort of divide up with the fellow. I think a lot of things I'd like to, I'd like to talk to that county agent. Him and your dad has worked together a long time.
Yeah.
Forget, you know, get him out where he talk. He wouldn't talk much in the office.
Get him out there on a place with daddy's where he'll talk. Get him and dad both together and get them wound up and...
Yeah. Right there in the front room?
He won't... No, you got to get him out in the field.
Out in the field.
You got to get him out in the field.
Yeah.
Because he's an outside man. He's not a house rat.
Oh, is that right?
He's not a house rat. No, sir.
Well, I might have known that because... Burrow's no house rat.
No, sir.
And so, that's nice. Oh, that'd be something.
I mean, if you got anything from them, you got to get it up there.
Yeah.
Not unless you got one of them little portable recorders that you can put the thing down your sleeve and then that don't get it.
That's too much trouble. I used to try that, but
it's really good. So, I mean, if you get anything from them, you're pretty near going to have to get it up there.
Yeah.
No, that's just the way it is. I mean,
that's all right. That's all right. But you see, what we can do, we can come back and sit around, and your daddy, if I had a third person, had another person who hadn't heard it, your daddy would report on the whole shebang. Now, out there in the little 12-footer, just with me, it wouldn't quite work. But see, if I'd had somebody else who hadn't heard it, it'd work.
Yeah, I got out there and got the ball rolling a couple of times for you.
Yeah.
And it rolled out just right, didn't it?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Y'all were lucky to get that little 12-footer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.